Purpose number two, my purpose is Christ. That's the heading of today's message. My purpose is Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that Jesus said to his disciples often, or you'd say often, is come follow me. Come follow me. What does Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. And Jesus would say, come follow me. Not follow my system. Not follow my rules and regulations. Not follow what I eat and how I dress. But follow me. So that's why our main purpose, our first purpose, actually, if you go through the next five of the 5 weeks now, of course, it's been six last week, the intro, is my purpose is Christ. Amen? That is really the goal of Christianity, is Jesus. He is the goal. It's to be formed into the likeness of Jesus. That is the heart of the Father for you and I. And so we're going to look at a couple of ways that happens this morning. In Philippians chapter 3, from verse 3, it says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit. Nikki, great to have you back here, my friend. And I wouldn't want to ordinarily bring attention to him, but I said, listen, you're not allowed to sit in that chair. A couple of months now, the accident. Nicholas fell about 20 meters onto a hard steel floor, broke, I don't know how many bones, both his legs, elbow, wrists, just many, many broken bones. And there he sits this morning. Amen. Beautiful, bro. Thank you, Jesus. Lots of prayer. Lots of prayer to you, my friend. I promise you, we've been praying every day, every week for you. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Why do some other people die when they fall? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know the things. We don't know everything. Amen? Some things are a mystery. Some people die, fall 3 meters and they die and break their necks. Fell 20 meters. No TBI, brain injury, no spine injuries. Didn't break your pelvis. Unbelievable. 20 meters and he falls into inside of a ship. And there you sit, my friend. God has a plan for your life. Amen? For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Jesus, and who put no confidence, say no confidence. Only a few of you say that. They say no confidence.
No confidence.
Ooh. In the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. This is Paul. He's about to boast here. Listen, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. I'm going to do something. Please just excuse me for a second. Can you do that? To turn those tabs down slightly. All right. Why, Craig? It's hard to explain. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Clearly, no one can be faultless in basing the righteousness of the law. We know that. But Paul is saying, by virtue of his actions and by virtue of his zealousness and by virtue of his attitude, he was faultless among his peers when it came to being righteous by the law. But we know that no one is made righteous by the law. We understand that. But Paul is saying, my actions amounted to some major stuff by virtue of who I was. What is more, I consider everything, so he says, verse 7, sorry, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. How profound. I was on the live stream there. Jeez, Craig, you're preaching and you're commenting on the live stream. That's pretty good. Great preach, Craig. Keep going. So Philippians 3:10, of course, three things that Paul says there. So passing worth of knowing Jesus, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, I want to know Jesus. Philippians 1:21, Christ says, for me to live as, Paul says, for me to live as Christ. Thanks for the help of the ladder there, Ty. For me to live as Christ. So you can see Paul's heart here through Philippians chapter 3, as he's going, all the things I had in the past that made me who I was, that made me who I thought I was, I actually consider them garbage, rubbish, now that I am finding Jesus and being found in him. Amen? My purpose is him. That's not my purpose in life. As our children grow up and to become adults, they've got to find their own faith. We have to the best of our ability and to pray for them and trust that they will land on their feet and understand that actually their purpose is Jesus, not what this world offers them. Amen? I want to encourage you, wherever you see your children today, wherever they may be on that spectrum, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Amen? We come against the spirit of the world that seeks to attach itself to our children, because this is the spirit of the world. All these things that Paul lived, the spirit of this world. We come against those things and say, Father, release the gospel and the power of faith over our children. Amen. So, my purpose is Jesus. Three points, one or two small sub-points, and how to grow closer to Jesus. Now, you might go, oh, Craig, come on. How to grow closer to Jesus. Give us some meaty stuff. We want some meaty stuff. I heard Grace Life's a meaty church. Amen. And I want to say we are, I hope and I trust that we stay on the right meat, the meat of who Jesus is and how we grow closer to him. He is our purpose, friends. Without Jesus, we are dead in the water. We like everything else and everybody else. So three points. Big point number one, we must know that Christ alone fulfills, forgives, and is forever. He fulfills, he forgives, and he is forever. See, again, it's like, oh, Craig, I know this stuff, man. Fulfills. We know Jesus is this stuff. But friends, we don't know this if we don't preach it. We don't know this if we're not living it. Who's with me? This is Paul talking about fulfillment, about forgiveness, about who Christ is, righteousness, apart from the law. The law can't forgive you. It just holds a standard of judgment against you. And the law, we understand, has been fulfilled in Christ. Not even the law was forever. Interestingly, it was taken away at the cross, nailed to the cross in Christ. Now Christ is the fulfillment of the law that goes on forever. Who's with me? See, small point under that. Can't fulfill you. Paul says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons but confidence in the flesh, I have more. How's that for a boast? If you think that you are good when it comes to the flesh, I'm way better. I was way better than you are. Now listen to what he says. He goes through a couple of things there. He says, so Paul in Paul's day, think about the Hebrews. But now, if you superimpose it rather over today's world, what do we have today? How does it outwork itself in today's world and in your life and in my life? So the first thing he says, yeah, he says, they trusted an initiation rite, circumcised. Something that happened to me. See, many people live with this idea that because they've been through something, it gives them something special in this life. Because something's happened to their bodies or something's happened to them, they've got something special. Amen? See, those things are not fulfilling. They can't bring life. They can't fulfill. No matter how much we think they cannot. Interesting. As you get older, you realize that those things actually can't fulfill you. As you get older, you realize the truth about some things in life, even if you're not a Christian. You suddenly realize how much full of what you were when you were younger. Interesting, when they're about to stone the woman caught in adultery, who walks away first? When Jesus said, if you without sin cast the first, or you without sin cast the first stone. Who are the guys who walk away first? The older guys. Because they go, I know the story, bro. All the young guys are like, I'll kill her. The older guys been around, they realize actually there's some lessons in life that you learn as you get older. It knocks the poop out of you. Life can be cruel. Amen? They're trusted in the country they grew up in. Think about that. From Israel. Now forget about the Middle East and what's happening there right now. This was 2,000 years ago. Paul is writing, he's an Israelite. We are God's chosen people. Hey, woo, I'm an Israelite. You fuddy-duddy Romans. They look down on the Romans and every other, all the Israelites, Hittites, Perizzites. What did you say? They trusted in a particular group. The country they grew up in. Think about that. Israelite, Israel. I'm from a specific country. I have a hierarchical sense because I'm from a greater country. Countries in the West are greater than the countries in sub-Saharan Africa. There's a hierarchy. Now forget about politics and forget about all that stuff, and a lot of that stuff can be true and a lot of stuff, whatever. But at the end of the day, there can be a hierarchy in how we think from where we come from. Amen. Trust in their language. Paul, Hebrew. I can speak the Hebrew language. The denomination, Pharisee, Charismatic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Grace Life. I trust in my denomination. I trust in my church. I trust in the thing. My grand, stout Roman Catholic. She was so stoked that my uncle had been baptized as a baby because he was going to go to heaven. But the problem is, because it hadn't been done, something else hadn't been done, he was roaming the earth as a dearly departed ghost on the planet. I'm like, yeah, that's so weird. See, she trusted in the fact that he was baptized as a baby, so now he was going to go to heaven. We trust in specific things. Natural strengths and abilities. Incredibly zealous, incredibly powerful, incredibly zealous, persecuting the church. While you guys sat at home, I was doing the work, trusting in who I am. 1 second, you fall off a railing and drop 20 meters. Amen? There was a guy, Kevin, what is Kevin's name? Kevin's surname, babe? Kevin Thomas. We got to know him. I was speaking, saying you got to be, you get to a, talking about size and strength. When you go to a pub or you go to a bar or you go to a nightclub, Origin. 3:30. Come, let's go back to the 90s. You know, you go walk into 3:30 and there's two little midgets standing with suits on. They're 4'2" by the door. And you walk in, you're like, what the? Guy's like, sorry, you can't come in. You know what? It's going to seem strange or even comical. Why? Because they're small. You need 6'3", 6'4", 5 guys, 120, 130 kilograms. Why? Because they've got to be dominating. They've got to control. They've got to manipulate with their size and their strength. Sometimes that can be a huge weakness if it's not tempered in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Except Kevin Thomas was my heart, but he was a vicious little dude. So he bounced at 3:30, I think, at one stage. But he was shot one night at an armed robbery in Glenwood in a petrol station, 2 o'clock in the morning, thinking a bit drunk. He took down the armed robber. The guy shot and shot him in the leg, in the foot, and forever destroyed his foot. His foot was always wobbly after that. He couldn't walk properly. Life changes. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for our health. Thank you for what we have. Thank you, Jesus. Don't take it for granted. Look after your body. Watch what you eat. Amen? Why? So can you be Arnold Schwarzenegger? No. So that you can just be healthy as best you can. Because we don't want to take our health for granted. Trust in their moral decency. Paul, a Pharisee. Righteousness, faultless. We've got to be careful, friends, that we don't look at each other. Skiff. We don't look at each other and go, hey, I look at that guy. Hey, whew, that guy's bad. Here's the question. What sin did Adam and Eve commit in the Garden of Eden to destroy their relationship with God and bring the curse on the earth through what they did? What did they do? Did they watch pornography together? Did Adam have an adulterous affair? Eve had an adulterous affair. Did they go raping people and killing people together? No, what did they do? They ate a piece of fruit. You try and put that in your mind. That's the sin. The sin was they eating an apple or whatever it was. Like, how can that be? Exactly, because sin is not an action, friends. It's actually a mindset. It starts in here. People say, hey, Grace Life, you guys are soft on sin. No, we're hard on unbelief. We're not too worried about the action. We're more concerned about the motivation. Because if you change the mind, you change the action. You see, so much of religiosity or Christianity wants to change the action. I want to change your action. So I change my action around you. People swear, hey, they say the F word at the gym or even in front of you. Oh, sorry. I'm like, oh, please, bro. Listen, do I slap you now or later? Or now till later? Who am I? But don't mind your language around me. Jesus hung with sinners. You know, God, listen, he's less worried about your language than worried about you actually going to heaven one day in Jesus and walking with him. Amen. He's got a purpose and a plan to encounter God, find community, fulfill destiny. Part of your destiny is knowing Jesus. The language thing will change as we become more like Christ. Let's help each other become more like Jesus and rather trying to change each other's behavior. Even when we make mistakes, immediately I want to look at your behavior. You messed up. You did something I don't like. You did something that I don't like because you didn't shake my hand. You didn't say something. You wrote down something funny. You did whatever. You didn't come visit me. You didn't phone me. You didn't bring me food when I was sick. You didn't. Let's not worry about all the behaviors and try to help each other become more like Jesus. Amen. Now, if someone does something to you over and over again, well, you go to them and say, hey, can I have a chat with you? Mano a mano. Adult to adult. And say, you know, there's patterns and events. Once is an event. Three or four times becomes a pattern. Like, you know, you realize you've done this like three times to me. Oh, I'm so sorry. And if the guy says, well, I don't care, you go, okay, I thought I'd just bring it to your attention. Yeah, I love you, brother. High five. And you walk out. Say, thank you, Lord. I've discharged my duty as a son of the Most High God. Amen. But for the most part, in religion, very often, we're trying to change each other's behavior. Because we want a squeaky, clean-looking church. Aye. When you have that, there's lots of stuff under the covers there that is bad. If you have a bunch of Pharisees you walk around with, if someone once said, don't make out like you're bleeding if you're swimming with the sharks. Amen. We want to be a people that love on each other to help people become like Jesus. Not because we're morally decent and we want to become all moral policemen. God is less worried about your action than he's worried about your mindset. Paul says in Romans 12:2, he says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So often we try and transform each other by making each other feel guilty about what they're doing. Or punishing each other. I preach to myself here. Yes, bro. Now they're all clapping for you. Amen. I'm going to punish you by ghosting you, blocking you on WhatsApp or Instagram or Facebook. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to ghost you. And I see you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to hurt you because of what you did to me. But really, are we helping each other become more like Jesus? See, friends, we can't. These things don't fulfill. Why do we want to become? Why do we want behavior to change down the line? We want the mindset to change for the behavior to change. Why? Because when my behavior doesn't line up with the Word of God or like Jesus, my sphere of influence gets diminished, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to make our sphere of influence so small that we only impact our own lives, and eventually we want to kill ourselves. Amen. Kill your destiny. So change the way you think. Why? So that I can become like Jesus and impact this world with the gospel. People are dying and going to hell every day. So what does God want to do? Raise up powerful bodies of believers that love Jesus. Are not perfect, by the way. If you want to join a perfect church, good luck. Because the moment you join it, it's not perfect anymore. Amen. You want to join a church that loves Jesus, is forgiving. I know some of you had some bad thoughts about me in the last minute. You're forgiven. Jesus forgives you. Amen. He forgave you at the cross. These things can't fulfill. Dawn doesn't fulfill me in my marriage, and I don't fulfill her. Now, do we strive to love each other more and more? Yes. Dawn does a better job than I do. But really, you've heard the saying, you know, it's my better half. Well, that's your better half, and you're obviously the worst half. You don't want any halves in marriage. You want two wholes. Because two halves will eat each other up. Because why? Because you... Okay, hold on. Can't point to you. Because you have to fulfill me, and if you don't fulfill me, then it's things bad. I need it. You got to fulfill me. It's your job to fulfill me. No, it's Jesus' job to fulfill me. My wife is there to help me outwork my destiny, and I'm there to help her outwork her destiny. Amen? And to love each other through thick and thin. We cannot fulfill each other. Now, yes, there are needs. We understand that. Body needs, sexual needs, love needs, affectionate needs. I'm not the most affectionate guy in the world. Dawn reminds me of that often. But I've got to make an effort to be affectionate. Amen? Because sometimes I might want other things. She says, hold on now. So I wash the dishes a lot. All right. They can't fulfill you. Can't forgive you. We know that. We know that these things in life can't forgive us. Only Jesus can forgive and bring wholeness and bring us closer to God. It's forgiveness, friends. Forgiveness in this world through the blood of Jesus that brings us peace with Jesus, with peace with God. Amen? It's the blood of Christ that brings us peace with God. Human beings are trying to find peace with God through all the things in this world. Peace with whatever the higher power is out there. You can't. It's only found in Jesus. And number three, they are not forever. We know that. These things fade. They don't bring us eternal joy. They change over time, over and over again. All the things that we thought of. Hey, look at me. Look at my build. I'm in the gym every day, hours and hours working out. Yes, I'm fantastic. And I hit 60. I'm like, I don't look so good anymore. 70, yeah, I've lost my, you understand? Everything just changes. I look in the mirror now, I'm like, hey, where I got to position the lights so I don't see all the other things. My hair's gone gray. I mean, it's just small, simple things, but we got to understand, that's life. Things move on, things change. If we root our fulfillment, our forgiveness, or our things of forever, the way we think in things that change, we are dead in the water. Okay, number two, I've got a few minutes left here. Number two, no, not number two yet. Let me read this quickly. A petrol car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it's just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering to know him. God cannot give us joy and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. Amen. All right, number two, painful experiences, let them drive you to Jesus. We have to allow painful experiences. See, very often, friends, we encounter God, things happen, we become believers, we begin to walk, and then we have painful experiences that actually begin to drive us away from God. We start to walk away from the Father and from his house and the things he's called us to, because we've gone through pain now and we begin to blame God for that pain. Amen? God is always good. We live in a dead and dying world. We cannot be responsible for other people's choices. Sometimes their choices will bring us pain. Sometimes their choices are going to hurt us. But the Lord is always good. To turn around and say, why did you do this to me? Amen? We got to let negative, painful experiences draw us to Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Interesting that part of that loss is not just giving things up, but it's having things torn away from you. Some people in China are put into prison for their faith. Are you willing to be put into prison for Christianity, for your faith, for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Him? Amen? Of all the problems that we have in this country, freedom of speech is not one of them. We can still get up and preach on the gospel on the corners and have church like this. You can have dissent, even a dissent, and say negative things about government. You can write it on Facebook. You can do whatever. No one comes to arrest you and put you in prison. Amen? We've got to thank God for that. I'm telling you, we've got to keep praying. Come and pray with us on Thursday night. Amen. We're still in a free country. Very often, there's been times, financial times, where I've gone, geez, I've got my ex-business partners that own a couple of houses each, 200,000 rands worth of solar stuff in their house. Go to the business, it's big lithium iron, LiFePO4 batteries, just big, like in the last months without power. I'm like, oh God, did I do the right thing? And give up that my share of that one third of that business for the kingdom of God. And my children think we ultra poor losers, poor pastors. Remind us about it when they can't get something. Amen. Hey Lord, we hold on. I want to say thank you. You're a generous church. You're a generous church. Amen. But still, I don't have two houses with all that stuff. I say, Father, I gave this up for you. I thank you that my destiny is in you. See, sometimes we doubt the things that happen because we go, wow, this is tough, God. And then we begin to doubt. We've got to hold on and go, no, I'm going to draw closer to Him through this. He is my portion. He is my shield. He is my very great reward. Amen. And then number three, and I end with this. This is a big one, friends. Someone once said, you will never be closer to Jesus than you want to be. Number three, decide to get closer to Jesus. You will never be closer to Jesus than you want to be. Who wants to be close to the Lord? If you put your hand up, it's a big step. Because you've got to know there's got to be action that has to follow that intention. Amen? If you put your hand up and go, I want to be close to Jesus, Craig. Okay. You come to church religiously. How much is that? Once on a Sunday. And we'll see you next Sunday. Don't read the word. Don't pray. Don't connect to other believers. Just come on a Sunday. Man, you're shooting yourself in the foot. If you want to learn how to speak Zulu and you decide, I'm going to learn how to speak Zulu, go live with the Zulus. They see how fast you pick up the language. Amen. Go visit them once a week for an hour on a Sunday. Maybe not so quick. Depends what you want. You'll never be closer to Jesus than what you decide. I want to know Christ. I love that. I want to know Christ. If that's you, it's like, Lord, I want to know you. Help me lay things aside that are pulling me away from you, God. We pray for our children. Father, I pray for my son. I pray for my daughter that you would open their eyes to the wonder of the gospel. Lord, that you would open their eyes. Don't draw them to Christianity. Draw them to you, Jesus. I'm telling you, friends, too many of us have come to Christianity. If you think Grace Life is your savior, you're completely wrong. People come into the life of the church and they put like a cap in hand. Okay, you, the church, you give to the poor, now give me. We are not your savior. He is your savior. Jesus is your savior, not Grace Life, not the leadership team. You've got to find him. You've got to decide that you want him. Amen. In 2000, I'd just become a partner in this company, myself and his, well, myself, another guy with another guy, three of us, earning $2,000 a month, my little Taz, small company, with big dreams, a small company. And this man approached us, myself and the other guy that joined with the other guy. We're both level threes, rope access at the time, myself and this friend of mine. And he said, I want to have a coffee with you guys. So we came there, sat to them in his company up in Kloof, big organization. And he said, let's call the guy Joe. That's not his real name. He said, Joe, or what? Let's Engelbert. Let's use Engelbert because there is a Joe here. He said, Engelbert, I'm going to stop it. I want you to go Southern Hemisphere. Craig, you go Northern Hemisphere. Do all my rope access for my company. I'll give you $30,000 a month, excluding living out allowance. My rent on the beachfront was $800 a month. Can you imagine that money in 2000, $30,000 a month? You go there, you go there. Handle all my rope access around the planet. You run my teams, and you run my teams in the south, and you run my teams in the north, because I want to open up this rope access division in my company, which you could easily have done. I'd been at Gainridge about 6 months, but I knew that I wanted God. I just come back to Jesus after 12 years of backsliding, and I knew this is what I want in life. I want the Lord. I want Jesus. I want the church. I want the local church. I want leaders. I want the word of God. I want to connect with believers. And they said, go. And my father said to me, who's like nominal, he said, no, Craig, they must have like chapels on the oil rigs, surely, like a little chapel. And I could have gone onto the oil rig and did my little Christian thing in the chapel. Oh, now I've done my Christian thing. No, I needed Jesus, not $30,000 a month. And so I said no to that. And by the time I left that company, almost 8 years later, God had done amazing things financially for us. Amen? Because we both turned it down. You got to decide on your heart that you want to get closer to Jesus. When things come up to pull you away, you go, no. I'm staying the course. I'm not going to fall onto the sides. And I'm convinced that had I gone offshore, I'd have never met Dawn. I would never be here. I would never have what I have today. Has it been tough? Yes. Not Dawn. But just the minute, it's not easy. It's much, 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 much. I could say that 1,000 times. Much easier being in business and making money than being in the ministry. Much easier. You got to decide what you want. Amen? So, who wants to get close to Jesus here? I'm going to give you, there's a few points. Why do we stand together? Listen to this. Prioritize weekly gatherings with others to worship Him. That's what you're doing this morning. Well done. That's a start. You're coming weekly to be with God's people. Sing songs to God here throughout the week. I have decided to follow Jesus. Grant, just give me a history lesson just now about that song. Amen. Sing when we sing. Sing out loud. Oh, God, we worship you. Sing. Pray. We got a prayer meeting coming up. Come and pray with us. These are the ways that we grow closer to the Lord. These are the actions we got to take if we want to see Jesus. It's wonderful that you come once on a Sunday, but it's not enough. I promise you now. We have to immerse ourselves in the kingdom of God. Amen. Make it our goal to forsake all things for the sake of knowing Jesus. Read and reflect on Scripture. If He's called you to business, wonderful. God's called some men to business. So we have a business leaders breakfast that we had a few weeks ago. It was very good. God's called you to business. That's amazing. Not everybody's called full-time ministry. As a matter of fact, a tiny percentage, because you need people in the world to impact this world. But remember, the goal is the same, to make Christ numero uno. Find people who follow Jesus. Spur each other on towards love and good deeds. That's what life groups are for. Great. Midweek meetings. Grab moments of silence and solitude, shutting out distractions. I want to encourage you, if you drive in a car often, try and switch off the radio. You're not listening to East Coast Radio or the other one. What's it? Radio 5. It's still going. Don't even listen anymore. 5 FM. It's just garbage, man. It's rubbish. Put a scripture on. Put a worship music on. Put a preach on. And just listen to the word of God. Well, you can do what you want. There's no law, but you're going to get what you get. Amen? Grab moments of silence. I've said that. Daily ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. If you have never...